am almost immediately flooded with fond reminiscences of what got me here. My wrinkles, I muse, provide visual evidence of a life that's been extraordinarily rewarding, both personally and professionally. To be perfectly honest, I have been unavoidably nostalgic of late. You see, today will mark the end of shooting in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. It's a film that's been positioned as the final voyage of the Starship Enterprise, and this time, the rumors may bear some credibility. Consequently, I've been savoring every day on the set. Strangely enough, the idea that this might actually be the last voyage has allowed me to broaden my perspective, and I found myself looking at the whole Star Trek phenomenon in a new light. I mean, I must admit I've never actually considered myself a Trekker, nor have I ever fully understood the enormous enthusiasm that the show has always seemed to generate. For me, it had always been first and foremost a job. Only now that it may be ending, am I able to see what made it so great. 45 minutes later, I'm at Paramount Studios, where I'm made up and dressed as Captain James Tiberius Kirk, perhaps for the last time. Our last day of shooting is just a couple of brief scenes. However, sentimentality begins to slow us down. All of us have come to realize that every moment of this day is to be cherished. By the time mid-afternoon has arrived, we've wrapped. Champagne bottles are popping. Cast and crew are hugging, kissing, and smiling broadly. However, underneath the joy of having successfully completed our project, there is sadness. I think it's weighing heavily on all of us that this time, our goodbyes may really mean goodbye. Flash forward by 6 months. Star Trek VI has opened to critical success and even greater box office. Paramount is pushing the film tremendously, and we original cast members have been asked to gather once more to place our hand and footprints in the fabled wet cement outside of Mann's Chinese Theater. As I arrive, Nichelle and Walter are already working the crowd, smiling, waving, standing next to countless tourists as Instamatic flashbulbs glare. George Takei is there, too, and I swear to you, this man thinks he's a Vulcan, because wherever he goes, he's displaying ambidextrous Vulcan hand signals for live long and prosper. Jimmy Doohan, as usual, is toying with reporters, answering their every question with a standard three-word answer. Jimmy, do you think the studio means it this time when they say it's the last movie? It's a ploy, yells Jimmy. And of course, my good friend Leonard is there, too, smiling, playing it cool. Underneath it all, he's just as excited as I am. I mean, this is Mann's Chinese Theater. This is something really special. And as I watch the masons preparing our wet cement squares, I notice that all around our section are names like Wallace Beery, Norma Shearer, and Buster Keaton. It strikes me that these are legends, great stars of the silent screen. So, of course, I'm really impressed with myself. But here's how our squares ended up being divided. Squeezed up in the top left square was my name. Squeezed up in the top right was Leonard's. And taking up a good-sized chunk of all four was the name of DeForest Kelley. In fact, DeForest was so excited that he actually wrote DeForot in cement. I swear to you, the man forgot how to spell his own name. And so, of course, I got to spend the rest of the afternoon kidding him about losing his faculties and being too old to do any more movies. It was great. Still, as I looked at my friends of the past quarter century, I couldn't help thinking about the bigger picture, about the people whose lives had been changed, even shaped by Star Trek, not just the cast, but our creatives, our crew members, and above all else, our fans. You're the ones who made it possible, who fought for Star Trek's existence. You're the reason it endured. You're the reason it was able to become so great. Later, after we'd all made our speeches and posed for our publicity stills and squashed our extremities into the cold, clammy immortality that man had to offer, I got a chance to talk with my castmates. We shared laughs, hugs, and lots of Star Trek stories, stories of good times and not so good, memories that have never before been told. I mean, it really struck me as odd that the Star Trek fans have never really been told the whole story. So in true Jim Kirk style, I immediately mapped out a plan and put it into action. This book is not going to run through detailed synopses of every episode and speculate on adventures that might have been or delve into things like the advanced tenets of the Vulcan philosophical mindset. What I can tell you about, having spent more than a quarter century mixed up in all this, is how Star Trek the series actually worked. I can tell you how Star Trek was created, produced, written, filmed, edited, and polished by an army of technical wizards. I can also let you in on all the backstage goings-on that became Star Trek. Lastly, above and beyond everything else, I'd like to tell you about the people that made Star Trek so great. They're the real story, the real heroes, and they deserve to be given their due. With all that in mind, I'll have to ask you to proceed. Warp Factor 2. I'm sorry, sometimes I can't help myself. The real story of Star Trek doesn't start at a television network or a film studio. In fact, it doesn't even start.